We're then teaching on the keys, the move of God. We looked last week, we were over in Chronicles, and we read the story there in Chronicles dealing with Jehoshaphat and the Judah, what it took place with them. And we found out that the keys that we talked about concerning the move of God, we found dealing with this incident where Jehoshaphat, we're dealing with the key of prayer and power and prosperity. And tonight we're going to focus specifically over in the area and look at things about prosperity, because the importance of it, lots of times dealing with prosperity, the church has generally, I would say probably majority of the church, are looking for money, but yet in a way they talk down on it. Like, you know, they talk to people, yeah, you don't want to hold up, get too much money. There's one thing about it, if you can't deal and operate in the areas of money and stuff properly, there's a good problem with spirituality, especially for Christians. I mean, Christians need to understand. We need to be able to, God has to be able to put things into our hands that we don't misuse, whether it's money or whatever it is. See, people say, well, God will never give you what you, you know, can't handle. That's the biggest lie on the face of the earth. God's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. So it doesn't operate in that way. You can misuse the things of God. You can turn around and God use it. People misuse things. I know just in misuse concerning gifts of healings. You know, there's ministries and ministers who are specifically anointed by God to operate in the areas. They had special gifts of healing that they operated in, and they used to use them to make money, which God didn't call them to do. But they would turn around and in their meetings they would have a real miraculous thing would take somebody walk out of a wheelchair and they just stop the service and take an offering. Because they know the emotions of people. The average Christian does not run off of spirituality. They run off emotion. They run off of what looks good at the time, what moves. Oh, this is neat. So I'm, and they'll give a bunch of money towards something. God ain't even moving that in that direction at that time. But emotionally. And they've learned this, you know. You go to the things, I mean, they'll send you a picture of something, you know, that they will move your emotion to give. And do those things. They don't tell stories sometimes just because, you know, they're telling a good thing God did. They use it as an emotional thing because they know that there's many people. They do this all the time. They send things. And we need to, don't be moved by your emotions. Just because something's good, is God telling you to do that? Can't let your emotions run you. You have to just stop and decide. You know, people send, and completely legitimate things send to me. I'm not called to. They can have a legitimate thing, but I'm not called to do their thing, you know. Well, they send to everybody, trying to get everybody to do it. I'm not called to it. It isn't their legitimate. You have to know what God's calling you to do. God don't call you to do everything. And so people have to find out, you know, I always followed after the thing that Kenneth Hagin told. He said the church is the jack of all trades and the master of none. And God specifically gifts. You're not gifted with every gift. So you can't be called to everything, can you? You know, you might see there's a need over here for something, but I'm not called that need. I've watched people do that. You know, they get out and they're moved by needs. I would go to ministers' conferences and you'd have ministers, they'd stand up and say, you know, their philosophy of ministry. If you see a need, meet it. And I say to them, well, then the devil's going to run your ministry because the devil's the need maker. If you're moved by need, well, you can't do that because... I mean, there's nobody has a ministry to take care of everybody's need in the world. I found this out. God ain't in that ministry. Is he meeting the needs of everybody in the world? No. There's things that he requires. So get your idea over in the thought, what God's called you to do, become a specialist in the area that God's called you to. Get over in there. One of the things you're going to need, you will need, money in ministry, whether people like it or not, as part of what they need. You know, I've over the years of ministers and that stuff, you know, they don't money, and they're very picky all about money, and then they turn around and take an offering. It's like, hold it. We can't give you any money. You just said, you know, it ain't great for me to have it. It surely ain't good for you to have it. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having it. It's a good thing to have. If you learn how to walk right with it, you know how to bless with it. I was just always like this, you know, and I've always listened to people and they say, well, you know, what I have belongs to God. Yeah, but you don't live like it does. You don't act like it does. You act like it all belongs to you. And so I found this out. You know, one of the things I found, if God can have my money, he don't care how much money I have. He does. That's the way it works. If God is number one, I remember this, a minister was talking about back in the days when they had full gospel businessmen, and a minister was ministering at one of their conferences. And they were giving testimony how God's blessing them and everything else. And he was one of the speakers there, and he was sitting listening before he got up to speak. And he said about this, he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, I wish I could get a hold of their checkbook. See, God was blessing. They're operating in certain principles, you know, but they have money coming in, but they are not blessing back to God in the measure that he's blessing them. Amen. See, everybody wants to go further. Well, to go further requires more. It's just like that in life. I mean, you take a businessman, if he wants to expand, he's going to have to do more work. You know, you don't do nothing and expand and do it. You know, if you want to go more, it requires more of you. And that's the way it operates. And if you have a different thought on air, it didn't come from heaven. It's just the way it is. In the earth, these things operate. Well, where did those principles come from? They came from the Spirit. That's the way it is. So, but allowing God, I found out the great blessing it is letting God have your checkbook. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
It's an absolutely wonderful thing. You know, Wanda and I didn't, you know, arrive overnight. But, you know, if you take most, you know, businesses and that stuff, they didn't start overnight. People did over time and worked at things and did things and build up till they became something. And we sort of teach the idea these people does, well, if you go out here and if you give some money and then God will just give you money right back. Nah, it don't happen like that. It takes time. And if you aren't a person can't trust over time, you got a faith problem. Faith and time run hand in hand. And you got to get into the thing of that. We want to look at tonight, we're going to look at some things concerning David. Now, David was a guy who followed God, walked with God. He was anointed as king. And it's interesting because even with David, you know, God anointed David. And we had the other Sunday, we talked about David and Goliath and things. We need to understand, he was anointed as king. But isn't it interesting? God didn't remove Saul as king for years. And so David, really, David's character was developed during this whole time of this whole thing. And it wasn't a good thing. He had a lot of trouble. Saul's trying to kill him. Saul has lost the anointed. He has demonic powers that are really giving him a lot of trouble. He's making terrible decisions. He's out trying to kill the guy that God anointed. And so this is not a good thing going on here. But we want to see something because we want to look at the areas concerning faithfulness. One of the things that I found out, one of the things that, like when I look back, like when I was in Bible school, there was really an area of time there, like when I worked at this grocery store, that God used that time where I went through, you know, a lot of pressure concerning things. But that was a time of developing character toward God, that God used that over time to prove me out. It was a place of proving.
Amen.
See, you have to understand that. What's our character toward that? There's one thing is God dealt with me about that. And David, we see in like manner. David, you know, many people want to rise to the top, but rising to the top with God is going to require, I will just tell you this, you're going to have to humble yourself to some things. And if you don't learn to do that, is one of the first things is when I got saved, I worked at H.B. Reeves Candy Company, and I was not a happy employee before I got born again, you know. And I complained about a lot and the different things. And one of the things God taught me was to humble myself to my leaders. I didn't have some of the best leaders. I had some good ones and some weren't at all. But I learned to humble myself to my leaders because they were in charge. You know, it wasn't my company. I didn't have the authority to make decisions. And there's one thing as I found out, you don't become the person who usurps authority. You don't do that. You know, people are in charge. They put them there. It was their company. It wasn't my company. They appointed the people they put in there. That's their prerogative. It's not mine. All I had to do is be obedient in the place that I was called to and what it is due. And my job wasn't to tell everybody else what to do. And that's one of the things here in America. We have an enormous problem with that. All through our culture, from the church world to you, everything. This is one of the great problems in America, is people are always trying to, you know, we vote people into office that we want to get to do what we want to do, to usurp authority and to do things. We're trying, we do it for all the wrong reasons, right, of what we vote for. We don't always vote for what's good needs done. We vote for what is good for me. I want to vote somebody that's going to do whatever I want. And the other guy's bad if he don't do everything I want. And we need to be careful about these things. David had to develop over time with Saul, but we find out God's blessing on him of what he did. David came to a place in 1 Samuel in 22. I'm going to read two scriptures here to us concerning David. Saul was after him. David was doing everything right. In fact, he was doing the things that Saul, you know, he was making Saul look good, you know. He's winning battles for Saul. He's doing all kinds of things, you know. And Saul sees it as what he does. And you'll see this sometimes. And I found this in people of working in the areas of sometimes with management or others. You get people who don't like other people to do well. They think it, they do well, it makes them look bad, you know, and that stuff. I always liked the fact if I had employees that were under me and they did really good, you know, that shows a good sign. Hey, you're doing some good things here with people. And if somebody was good at something, I was glad. You know, somebody in charge shouldn't have to be able to do everything. That's what a lot of people want. No, that's, you find people who can do really good at it. That's what you do. You know, that works in every level, whether it's household or anything like that. You know, there are some things that Wanda is really good at, and she just let her do them. You know, you're smart. If you're the head, get smart. The person that's good at it, let them do it. I mean, it's the dumbest thing. I went to a church, and they said, you know, concerning money and finances, they said, the woman should never control the money. The guy's the head. He ought to control all the money. And I thought, boy, if you ran that and everything, that'd be the stupidest thing in the world, you know. There's no business in the world would run. You know, you couldn't get big. It's stupid. A good leader, you have somebody who's good at do something, let them do it. You know, get them to do it. That's the way you do it, you know. And so you have to, you know, and they would teach those things, and they had all this weird stuff, you know. No scriptural for it. They just, you know, this was tradition of how they were teaching, this is the way you do it, you know. If you're in charge, you run everything. Well, you don't want to go to that. Because, you know, it's other people who are gifted. In the church, it's the same manner. I remember years ago, we wanted our church, this is back numbers of years ago, we wanted to do a thing. At that time, there was an evangelist who would come in the areas, he'd set up a tent, and he'd have it. And I said to some of the ministries, we had a ministry thing to get together and pray. And I said, you know, we'd bring a guy in for that. He would do that, set this thing up. We made the thing. I said, you know, our church will cover for him coming in. Just to take offerings and things like that, but we'll cover what it costs taking in. And all these pastors, now here they are pastors. Well, why can't we do the preaching? We don't need an evangelist. We can do it. I said, well, then go ahead, pay for it and do it. But I said, ain't one of you an evangelist? Why would you think you could do an evangelist job? You're a pastor. If you're an evangelist, you wouldn't be a pastor. But see, I can do everything. That's the messed up church. That's when people get messed up. No, people are gifted. Just like that, there's people who are gifted. You find the person that's gifted. Yeah. And you get them to do something. And so, it was like with them, you know, we want to do everything. Well, okay, well then go ahead and do it. Oh no, we're going to do it. We have to pay for it. We ain't. Well, they weren't gifted to do it. It went nowhere. But you know what? They'd rather not had somebody come to town if we can't control. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the dumbest thing in the world. I'm so glad to find somebody could do something. I'd hate to think I have to do everything. Can't do it. But anyhow, so David is in this position. Saul's after him. David is gifted by God to bless Israel. And we have a king who lost his anointing and can't stand in his office, but he has a guy that can make him look good. But because of what he has done, he's running him out of town. He's trying to get him and kill him. But here we have in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1 says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Now remember this, David, one of the things, if he killed Goliath, you know, his family was supposed to be taken care of. Well, Saul wasn't a very good leader. He didn't like them because he didn't like David. So, you know, so they come, they hook up with him. And it says, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontent gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So now, how would you like this group? Don't this sound like a good group to get, you know? Do you ever notice that, you know, people, somebody who's pretty good at something, and, you know, they have to break away from something. See, I found this out. We ended up having to leave a church because a pastor got way out of line on things. Well, there's people who started coming to our church, came from that church. And they were the discontents. They weren't leaving because of anything spiritual. They were just complainers, gripers, and moaners. And the first thing they did was when he started coming to our church, he's complaining about that pastor. And I took him aside and said, this is what you think you're called. We're not here. You're leaving there. If you don't like it there, then you leave and forget it. Nice. But, well, you know, I said, if you're great spiritual and all that kind of stuff, you're going to walk in love, so you ain't going to gripe about it. So we know this, that you're not spiritual. So let's get over this. You guys come down here complainers. And I said, I don't want you talking to anybody around here about that pastor and what went on. I said, that's not, we ain't got time to this, because we saw that start happening in that church where people were complaining, even the heads of the church, the pastor and them, were complaining about others of the church. And it's like, hold it. Not what we're here for, you know. But they were going, what they were going to do is bring his discontents. So you might find out God leads you, you know. But David became a great leader of these people, this group that came here. And, you know, these became what the Bible, these became the ones, David, these 400 that were in this kind of shape. These were David's, ended up being David's mighty men. These were the ones who were at the top of what God was doing. Now, this is important because, see, David, when he became king, and what I want to look at tonight, because of walking where he did and where he brought these men to, one of the things that God did, you know, we talk about financial. The Bible deals with how God blessed these ones, how he blessed David. Now, David became super wealthy, but so did his men, became super wealthy. They did. Following after, you know, David walked after God, followed after God. If we sit down, when David went to build the temple, now David, he built a palace for himself and stuff. He did all kinds of things, and David had a lot of money. But one of the things, when we look down at today's value, David had given toward the building of the temple. Now, this is what David alone by himself, concerning gold, at today's gold prices, what he gave was about $10.7 billion. Himself. His leaders under him gave about $17.6 billion to build the temple. Seems like God blessed him, didn't he?
Yes.
You see, God blessed him. I mean, David gave $265.2 million worth of silver. But you understand, see, David walked right. One of the things that David did, and this, see, God wants a move. And he wants to bring finances. It's number one, God needed finances. He needed stuff to build that temple. See, God's temple had to be the best. Mm-hmm. See, and we know, you know, considering God wants people to have money. He wants people, because the church has to do things, you know. And it's just like, does God want his people to be neglected, not have enough food, not have enough things? See, I mean, you think about that. We go around places, and I mean, I've been around the world and in places I've gone to, and Christians are poor and everything else. And, you know, and you listen to the teaching that they've had and think, oh my God, you know, they have that some kind of holiness in being poor. And they don't realize, and they teach this stuff. You know, you're God's house. You are. Your body. God wants your body. Nobody can ever convince me that God, it's God's will for you to be sick. God wants a lousy house. Come on. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. So God had a plan. In other words, in the earth, God wanted what? This place where his presence could dwell. This is why when you go to heaven, the streets are gold and everything. God can't live in a dump.
That's right. That's right.
This is why we needed to be born again. God can't live in a dump. That's what we were, a dump. Our spirits. You got born again. Well, see, God wants to manifest, and we need to get this in ourselves concerning wealth. The church, Christians need to change their ideas and thoughts about wealth, about getting it. And our thinking about other people and money, this is what we're going to look at tonight. We want to see this. Because David moved along. These ones that started off in this condition, you know, they followed after David, and God blessed them. Blessed their socks off. But what when we need to see this, God had a plan not for just them to hoard money to themselves. He sure didn't matter that they lived good, because I'll guarantee you they did. When Solomon's reign came, they went even further beyond that when his reign came. In fact, there was so much gold, silver became a worthless thing. It wasn't. The records, they dumped it outside the city. It wasn't worth anything. Can you imagine? You had so much gold. Silver isn't worth nothing. Well, but as we need to understand this, God has a plan, and it's number one of the things I understood this. God has a plan for me to have wealth. We're called to be workers together with Him. Understand this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth belongs to God. This earth belongs to God. When God came along and put Adam in this earth, there was a creation. The earth had already existed. This earth was here before things got messed up. And God came along, when He put man in this earth, in a sense we could serve it like a business. God owned it, but He made this guy a CEO. His name was Adam. And He said, look, this earth, this thing I created and all this around you created, I'm giving you dominion over it. You're the guy that runs it for me. Now, God set a contract with Adam. God had a contract. Just like we do today, they make contracts so many years for a guy who runs a thing. So many year contract. Man has a 6,000 year lease on this thing. Man is sitting here under a 6,000 year contract to run this thing. When it ends, God takes over again. Jesus Christ comes back, the contract is ended, and God comes back and rules His earth. He comes back and He rules with a rod of iron. So we need to think about this. When we think about it, this is God's earth. Now, God turned it to man. The earth has ended up to be what it is, all man's fault. It's not God's fault. It's man's fault. It's what we have done with the dominion that we are running this thing and doing that. So get thinking about that. The point of salvation was this. Man turned around and he gave the devil the right to run things. Was given to him. Man was under God's dominion, but he turned around. Adam sold out. Adam gave his contract to the devil. So the devil has a contract. He's operating here. It was given by man. So you need to operate. You and I were born again. God wants to sit, is the fact of this. We have dominion over Satan. In other words, we are of God's kingdom. Really, if anything of this earth belongs to, it's us. You don't like what's going on in it, check and make sure you're not the problem. We're CEOs. We have authority over Satan and his dominion here. We have authority. You need to think about these things. We don't. The church doesn't think about none of this. It's all about God, God, God. Hold it. What's the purpose of the new birth if it's all God, God, God? There's no point in us. It's about giving us our dominion where we turn around and walk here in this earth. We're here. This is why the Bible says we become workers together with Him. We ain't workers together with Him in heaven. We're workers together with Him here. It's about bringing order here, backing over to the thing. And so, I want you to get this in your thinking. So we have David and this money. Look at in Psalms 113, I'm going to read some scriptures. This is God's idea. In Psalm 113, we're going to read and start in verse 7, and we're going to read verses 7 and 8 out of this. But it says this concerning, it makes this statement. what God does. Speaking of Him, He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of ash heap, that He may sit Him with princes, with the princes of His people. So, being poor is like being in the dust and the ash heap. Now, Christians always use this thing because Jesus said you're always going to have the poor with you. You are. You're going to have people who don't follow the will of God. You always have the unsaved with you, don't you? Well, did Jesus not die for everybody? You know, there's such a perverted view of things. God's will, He looks at man. Hold it. When He saved man, it was to lift man out of the ash heap. What was it to do? It was to set you with princes. In other words, you're to be a ruler. Not a 12-inch or a 33-foot-long yardstick. You're a ruler. You're ruling and reigning. Who do we rule and reign with? Christ. We're to rule and reign. That's what we're called to. Poverty is ash heap. God never called man to that. God called man to deliver man from the ash heap. Why? He wants to deliver you and set you with the princes. That's what He wants you to do. Now you think about that and said, see, the name Israel really is Prince of God. God gave the name, you know. Isaac named his son Jacob, and God said no. He named him a covenant name. Why? Because He wanted to follow after Him, and God gave him a name of blessing. Amen. You're a prince of God. That's who you are. He gave him that name. And that's what Israel means. You know? You'll see in the scriptures, you'll see them use the name Jacob, and you'll see the name Israel. Wow, there's the Jacob. Those are the ones who are just earthly Israel. And there's the ones of faith who are of the covenant that God made through with Jacob. Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to understand this. See, as God came along and doing names, there's something in a name. See, what you call it. See, God said, no, Jacob ain't good enough. You're a prince. See, they gave him a name, you know, because he grabbed a hold of his brother's heel. What'd they do? They tried to curse him. His own family tried to curse him. God said, he's after me. You notice He didn't change the name of His brother. I always think about this. And the things that Isaac did. Isaac, over 20 years of his life, was blind and in the earth. He was the heir of Abraham. You know what? I never heard anybody ever preach about that. Him. He ended up in a bunch of trouble. He was going to pass on the heritage to his son because he liked the food he made, even though he was a heathen, marrying heathen women. I don't care. My God is my belly. So, but God had a different idea. Praise God. We want to go on here and look at something because God, we want to change our idea. When you think about it, you know, is God holding back wealth from His people? You got to break that thought. They would, well, you know, He has people poor for a reason. No, Jesus said concerning His people, He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come you might have life. He didn't say, I came so you could be poor. I have a good reason. He didn't say that. We need to get it in our minds. When we think about it, this is one of the things is we need to teach people and tell people. You wouldn't believe how much Christians think that there's something godly in not wanting a lot of money. Yet they really do want it, you know. They really do want it. But they wouldn't admit it because it's an ungodly thing to admit that. Nah, I don't mind. I want a lot. God likes me having a lot. Because I give a lot. Amen. So I get a lot. Amen. So you keep this ugly thing running. If this is ugly, I'm staying with this ugly plan. See, you got to get, people got to get, you know, one of the worst things it is for a Christian to think they're not going to have enough. Because that's going to cause you problems, thinking in that matter. You're not going to have enough. You know, I can't do this, I can't do it, I won't have enough. Limit you. You're going to get limited. Now, One of the things we find out here, a principle. Now, here's God in Proverbs 13. This is Proverbs 13 again. Verse 22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. This is what a good man does. So, if it says a good man, then it must be, if you want to be good, you should want to have enough money. You want to be good? See, you got to get a way of thinking. This is, would God want you to have something and not help you get there? Wouldn't that be stupid? This is what I want you to have, but I'm against you going. See, God don't want you to have to wait to get to heaven to have a good life.
That's right. Amen.
There's no kind of people who can't wait to get to heaven is good. The only reason I didn't go to heaven is perfect. But while I'm here, it's going to be okay, man. You know, it's just our way of thinking. Now look what he goes on to say. What does he do? But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. What is it? The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The wealth of the sinner. See, how do you view wealthy sinners? Do you criticize them? Do you run? See, one of the things I learned this, now I can tell you what, I learned this back when I was a young Christian. And you know what I always did? I never complained about rich people. Sinners as rich people. Why? They're working for me. God has a plan concerning them. Now, why haven't we seen as much transfer? I can tell you, no faith for it. See, when the church preaches against rich people, they preach against their own wealth. I don't care all these people and they have billions and they do all this stuff. They're working for God so they can give Ed money.
Amen.
See, I don't have to worry about stacking it all up. God has hired out people to do it for me.
Amen.
Right. See, you got to change the way you think. If you don't change, look, I don't care if God said this in His Word, it will not work for you as long as your thinking's wrong, your believing will be wrong.
Amen.
See, that's one of the things you'll never hear me preach or criticize rich people. I don't do that. I will not do that. Why would I? I'm not going to criticize a guy that's working hard for me. See, you find this stuff don't get preached much when we deal with financial areas and stuff like that. Well, see, preachers are mostly interested in getting your offering right now. And they just keep taking offering right now. No, there's people working out here. God has them, the unrighteous. There's stuff that He wants, He's going to take from their hands and give it to us. But see, we have to believe this. See, I've always believed this. You know, it's like we have this is the here's the American prison. How can I take the stuff and get it for me? How can I get their stuff? Well, I'll vote for people and put them in office, and they'll tax them a lot and give me stuff. Well, that's a good Christian way. Why? Because God can't do it. I got to do it. So I'm going to go out here and vote for people. That'll go after those bad rich people. Because God can't make this thing work unless I do it. That's how socialism gets working. Socialism, there's no spirituality in it. It's, God ain't big enough to take care of me. I'm going to have to hire people out to do it for me. Mm-hmm. We'll have to take things from people. Nope. They're working for me. So you get in a place, that has to become your voice. This is what God said. See, when I started to see these things in Scripture, way back when I was a young Christian, I started seeing these things, and I thought, gee, don't preach this stuff. Don't preach these things. And so people sit around and criticize and wonder why systems don't work. They don't work because the church hasn't worked a system. See, we're not ruling and reigning. We're not ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. Praise God. God can bring things to us. But I've also with this, I'm not interested only in the rich guy's money. I want him too. I want him to get saved. You know what? See, you know what, everybody? You can go out here and hand food out to the poor guy because you know what? You can buy him with stuff. You can get him to come to your church as long as you feed him. As long as you take and pay his bills. The rich guy, you might have to need God to help to get him. And the church don't know how to do that. They can't believe for that. So the rich guy's bad. I asked one time, because they were, you know, these ministers were all talking about the Lebanon area and that stuff, and they were about doing things to the poor. I said, what about the people in our community that got money? I said, ain't we interested in reaching them? And it's amazing how silence came. They have no interest. Why? Because the gospel is only for people who don't have enough to eat and need their bills paid. Because you can easily buy them, but you can't buy the rich guy. You're going to need God to help you get the rich man. How many people go out and go to preach the gospel in a rich section? Oh, no, there's only a certain class we like. You know. See, we need to change the way we think. If we don't change how we think, what's going to happen? There's areas you can't rule and reign in. There's areas where God can't move like He'd like to bring things and make things come to pass like He'd like to. This is why, see, you got to change. This is not criticism. It's when we finally get to look at the Bible, you start measuring yourself and saying, man, what have we been doing? How have we been doing this? And I think sometimes people see this, but they don't like seeing it. So let's not talk about it. Let's go to something else that makes me feel better about myself. I don't want to be told I've been messing up. Now, the Amplified Bible says this in Proverbs 13, on the 13, the last part of that says, it's Amplified says, and the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. I like that. Hallelujah. It's going to find its way. Amen. It's going to find its way. So, hallelujah, you know, praise God. You know, get walking fingers. Listen, in Job 27, Job made this statement concerning the wealthy. Now, Job knows about being a rich man. Job knows a little bit about that, don't he? He knows a little bit of, you know. Job makes this one. But he's talking about the wicked guy, the guy that ain't doing right. In Job 27 verse 16 says this concerning the evil person. Though he heaps up silver like dust and piles up clothes like clay, he may pile it up, but the just will wear it and the innocent will divide the silver. God must have a plan. God must have a plan. See, these things are spoken through the Bible. These things are put in there for us to see. And we need to, it is really important for us to understand these things. God has a plan concerning wealth. See, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, it says, Proverbs in 28, verse 8 says, he makes this statement about, and it shows, gives us an idea about wealth. We need to be about this. It says in verse 28, verse 8 says, one who increases his possessions by usury, that would be interest. And he said, extortion gathers it for him who has pity on the poor. Now, one of the things I want you to see this, this usury is about interest, but lots of times it's used in Scripture. It's talking about people doing exorbitant things, taking the poor across, doing things, charging interest and that stuff. And extortion just is to obtain from a person by force, intimidation, or undue or illegal power. So he's talking about somebody that does things, this usury that they're doing. They're taking people across. See, you don't want to do that. People say, well, you know, I've heard people say, well, about, you know, we shouldn't charge interest in that kind of stuff. They may be Christians make this statement. I've heard Christians over the years say we shouldn't. Well, Jesus didn't believe in that. Jesus gave the example of a guy king, and he turned around and gave three of his servants a certain amount of money. And the guy gave the least to him. The guy said he took it and buried it and hid it because, you know, he was a hard guy. He said, but why didn't you give it to the, you know, bank where they could have made interest? You'd have got some. Well, God didn't believe in interest and you making money from interest. Well, Jesus told a lie parable. I've heard Christians say that. Well, you know, it talks about, because Israel had this thing concerning poor people that they'd do. If somebody was really poor, about lending them money without interest. But it didn't mean they didn't pay the money back. They had to pay it back, or The law required this. If you didn't pay it back, you had to pay seven times. So it didn't mean that you could just, somebody lend you money and just not pay back. God's the one who set the quota on what had to be paid back. Man didn't set that. God spoke that in the law. So, understand, God don't mind people making money, using their money to make money. That's a good thing to do. You can do that. There's nothing a matter with doing that. You know, you're not trying to, you know, if you're doing things to rip people off to get things, there's people who do that. There's people who do it completely honestly and get rich, and they should. If they're doing it honestly and doing it right, praise God. You know, I'm not against anybody doing it. I don't care if it's a sinner. I ain't against him on it. So, praise God, you know. We need to keep these things in mind. So, don't get mad at the ungodly rich person. Again, they're working for us. Don't get upset about that. Keep yourself and your mind working. Because, you know, our attitudes have a lot to do with... people make statements of so-called faith of the word, but their attitude's not proper, and it ain't coming to pass. Their attitude ain't right. The reason they're trying to do what they do is for wrong motives. We don't want to be in that. We need to be careful in these things, doing it. This is what Ecclesiastes in 2, the second chapter of Ecclesiastes in verse 26 says this: "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. This is also vanity and grasping for the wind." What's he doing? You know, the scripture tells by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, we're going through this and we're establishing this principle in the Bible. It's here. Is it true? Now, I've had people say this already, who saw these scriptures and say, well, that was for them in the Old Testament. That was for them. That was for them. That's a good way to try to get out of, you know, following away on people's principles. And I want you to see this because we used these scriptures before from James, and we're going to use those tonight, over in James the 5th chapter about the end time. See, the end time is entering into a period. We need to know this. When Jesus, there's a move of God, the Lord's going to settle account concerning His people. God's not going to settle the account with Israel yet. Israel's account's going to be settled later on. This is not about Israel. This is about the church in James. God's going to settle account here dealing with the church. Israel doesn't enter into its place till after the millennial reign. So this isn't. You and I, in a sense, are coming... We're coming down to the end when the church gets caught away, and that's our millennial reign, I'll tell you what. We get the full redemption. But Israel and that stuff's going to enter into its place. James is writing to Christians about what's going on. James, the 5th chapter, verse 1, it says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you." He said, "Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten." He said, "Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be witnessed against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days." Well, what were we talking about, this heaping up this treasures? What they're doing, their work is doing. See, if you understand these other Christians, you can't really get a grasp of what these scriptures are talking about if you don't know what's said in the Old Testament of God's plan. This isn't so they can turn around and give us a little raise. We need to understand what he's talking about here. In other words, there's trouble coming for them who have been holding out and doing things. There's a payday coming for the righteous. There's things coming. And what's it for? It's this last day move of God. So the rich man, this ungodly rich man, he is talking about here. He's not saying this is the Christian. He would sure talk, be talking different if this was Christian rich man. These aren't Christians he's talking about. He's talking about people out here in this world. They're in trouble. The rich man out here in the end times, this is a prophetic statement. Now, so these ungodly rich men, they've been storing up wealth. what is dealing with here with the end time that they're working for. Because he went on to say, verse 4, he said, indeed the wages of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and their cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. So understand this. He went on to talk about the fact that he said, you know, the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. In other words, there's a move of God here in the end times. And this is dealing with the end times. This is not about somebody getting just regular pay. We need to read. This is about spiritual things. This last day move of God is going to require money to do it, to carry it out. It isn't just some people going to have a bunch of money in their pocket. This is about God has a plan. Just like he did with Israel, he gave those riches and stuff to David and his men. He had purpose in it for what he was doing and what he was going to carry out. He wanted to put, God wanted a house where he could dwell among his people. And see, we're God's people. God is after more people. He's after more houses. That's what he's after. And it's going to cost, it costs money for people to go out and do stuff. You're going to, it's just what it's required to do. And we need to get, we know, it's like when Randall Greer, the Lord told him many years back, he told him to get a pilot license, he said, because of traveling. And he told him, he said, in the future, he said, traveling commercially is going to be a very, you know, tough thing to do. It's going to be unreliable. That's what it is today. We got unreliable transportation. You go down to get a plane, you know, how many of them are, you know, messed up, don't get off, anything else, all this stuff going on. And it's what I found out, you know, traveling ministers, if they want to fly places today, you don't want to do commercial. Because you'll have to leave days and days ahead of time to try to get to a place that take you 12 hours to drive to if you're going to fly. Because you don't know if you go to the next place, you're going to get down to the next place you go. You know, your flight's been canceled 4 times. And you have all these stuff. It is hard traveling to do it that way. And the Lord told him, said, you're going to have a hard time. So he said, you need, if you want to have reliability, you can get from place to place, you're going to need to do this. So we need to understand these kind of things out here that are going on with people. You know, some people, I don't know why these ministers need airplanes. I do. You know why corporations need airplanes? It's the same thing. They can't turn around and leave for 2 weeks trying to get somewhere and get back. Amen. They have companies to run. They have things to do. They can't do that. See, if you're one of those people who think, well, all that's terrible, don't be surprised your finances don't do well. Because then you don't need the stuff you have either. You know? See, that's why you can't think like these. I'm going to tell you, there's just too much bad thinking has hurt prosperity. There's a need for these things. So, praise God. See, we want to get the thing about it. So, God, his intent is to move. God has a plan in this last day move to God to set in order some things, bringing money in. So, you know, things are getting shaken up. You know, it's one of the things, I mean, I just take from the standpoint, to me, Donald Trump very much seems as setting things, some things he's really setting in order. He's turning around. You know, our government turned around and hoarded huge amounts of wealth, paying people that weren't doing a darn thing, doing all kinds of stuff. Well, praise God. You know, all these people sitting around, yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I lost my job. Yeah, you didn't have a job. You had a position, but you got paid. You didn't have a job. You weren't doing anything. Loads of people doing that. Sitting in governmental positions. Sitting around in these places paid. The government was paying people higher wages than corporations paid them on the same job. Yet, now that's not just the money. It's their health plans and everything else. These people, the amount of time they get off and everything else. How did you ever think about that? The government shuts down and people don't go to work, but they get paid anyhow. Just like they do here and out here, and you know, your place shuts down, you don't. They sure send you a lot of checks, don't they? Yeah, no. Yeah. They shut the government down, and these congressmen and senators still get their checks. I thank God for Donald Trump, you know. I think he's being more obedient than a lot of ministers are in his things and that. He's shaking things up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody might have to go to work. That'd be dangerous. Listen here, we're going to read Haggai. We're going to go read Haggai. We're going to read here what Haggai said in Haggai 2, prophet, starting in verse 6. Verse 6 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." Who do the silver and gold belong to? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. See, you and I need to know this, that these things are God. They belong to Him. Mankind has a lease in this earth. This earth don't belong to man. Never did. The earth doesn't belong to man. This is why, if you go to read Romans 8, it talks in Romans 8 about shaking, and this earth shaking. Looking, this earth shaking, looking for the redemption of the sons of men. See, the earth, it says the earth's convulsing. It's convulsing. What's it convulsing? See, the sin in the earth belongs to God, and it don't like the sinners on the earth.
Nope.
This earth is alive to God. It's His. There's nothing ever be created by God that isn't turned toward Him. What did Jesus say about the rocks?
Yep.
"You don't praise me, the rocks will cry." You think He was just making a cute statement?
No.
See, the church understands very little about a lot of things. We don't understand about this thing. We have our own idea about this earth. People don't read enough scriptures to find out things about this. The gold and the silver are His. And the whole intent was, from the beginning in creation, immediately tells us where the gold and silver were. God tells man where it's at. And man sinned and let the devil control it. God's intent is to turn these things around. This is why when God gets back in control, He rules with a rod of iron. Man don't get to do what he wants anymore. You're not in charge here. This is what happens to mankind. God won't be mankind. During the millennium, man's not running the show. God is. God runs the show. It goes back into the hand of God. That's why God can throw Satan off the face of it, decide whether He wants to bring him back or not. He gets to do that. Why? He's in charge. The earth's His. He can do now what He wants. He ain't doing it. Well, God can do anything He wants. Yeah? Well, He must be pretty lazy. He ain't doing much. See, we got to change the way we think. God has a system set up. We need to get in faith. God wants to prosper us. God has a plan. And His plan is to fill His house with glory. Why would He say the silver and gold are mine? Why would He say those things? What was He trying to say? The silver and gold are mine. You know, why does God live in a place that's so luxurious and so everything else? Why does he, Jesus, when He left, He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, so when I come again, I'll receive you to myself." You know, He's been up there working on my place all this time. My God. We think somebody built a house that take, 5 years to build. My God. God's been working on mine for a long time. Now, a lot of people, I think they're going to have a little cabin in the corner of glory land because they ain't believing for much. They're going to take the logs with them. God don't cut trees down. We need to get ourselves on a way of thinking that God has. This earth belongs to Him. We have a lease here. And you know what? Man hasn't been a good leaser. Hallelujah. But one of our problems is the way we've been thinking about what God wants to do for us. Let's change this way of thinking. God is not holding back for us. He's not holding money back. He's not holding anything back. He's not holding any blessings back. Man is the one. We're the ones in authority here who allow Him to bring His blessing into the earth. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to step up and declare. He's given us authority. He's waiting for us. You know, when the Lord, I always think about this with Kenneth Hagin, when the Lord taught him at first about dealing with demonic powers, and he taught him this. He said to him, this Jesus appeared to him and was talking to him, and this little demon jumped in between him, started making all this noise, yak-yak, and this smoke and stuff carrying on. And Kenneth Hagin said, the first thing I started, why don't Jesus do something about this? He said, I can't hear what Jesus is saying. And he's letting this go on and on. And he said, finally, out of frustration, he said, you know, it must have been inspired. He said, inspired by Jesus that he did it. He just stopped, said to this demon, he said, I command you to stop it in the name of Jesus. And he said, instantly, that demon flopped on the ground. The smoke cleared. He could talk to Jesus. But Jesus said this to him. He said, if you hadn't done that, I couldn't have done it. Well, the scripture tells us we've been given authority over the devil. See, man has dominion, not Jesus. Jesus ain't going to do nothing about the devil in your life. Kenneth Hagin said that turned over. He said, my theology. He said, I had never ever been taught such a thing. And he said to Jesus, he said, you're going to have to give me scriptures for that. And he said to Jesus said, he said, you're going to have to give me two or three scriptures on that. Jesus said, I'll do one better. I'll give you five. You see, we have been waiting for God to do that. God tells us the wonderful things he wants to do for us. We don't declare them. Say, praise God, there's rich people. They're out here gathering money to give to me. Hallelujah. No, we've cursed them. We've talked bad about them. We've talked about the things they did with money and complaining, and all we did is help them do crazy things in money. We helped them. We used our faith to bring curse. See, let's get down and praise God. Hallelujah. I got a lot of rich people working for me. Hallelujah. See, get yourself thinking in these areas. Let's hook up with God. Let's lose this thing of us about, you know, mad at somebody about, oh, this guy, they do this, they do that. Let's stop this stuff. Say, I'm blessed in this earth. They can carry on, do whatever they want. Hallelujah. Amen. See, I'm gonna trust God's word's true. It'll work for me. And see, we want to walk in this. We're in this fulfillment of this last move. We're going to see the earth's going to get shaken. Everything is getting shaken. Do you ever notice? See, a lot of people don't realize all this trouble and stuff going on. Things are getting all shook up. Yep. It's like the thing the Lord told me many years ago. And he said, in the last days, you'll know who's on whose side. Isn't it getting like that? Isn't it pretty obvious? Charles Capp said, the gays didn't come out of the closet. God opened the door. We see who they are now. You're seeing what kind of people they are now. God brought them out. They can't hide no more. Light came in the closet. Everybody thinks, well, the devil. Uh-uh. God ain't letting the devil hide anymore. We can see the good, the bad, the ugly. You see, people turn around, and all they do is Christians act like the devil's reigning and ruling. No, they aren't. I can see right where he's at. He can't hide from Ed no more. See, you get it in your mind. You get thinking right. Get yourself thinking properly about things. We have this tendency, I know why humanity does it, but we have the tendency to look at everything from a negative side. Yeah. Hallelujah. No, we're blessed. You shouldn't be sitting around looking at him. You're blessed. If you're trying to get blessed, you're in the wrong direction. You are blessed. God, you know, like these things in the Word, they don't seem like any huge thing, but they're sure good things, aren't they?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful things. You know, here's some scriptures. I'll just close in this and read through them. Here are some scriptures concerning prosperity scriptures. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He has sworn to your fathers, as it is to this day. There's a requirement to have wealth to establish covenant. You need money. When they say, oh, you know, the poor, you're blessed. I'm sorry. The poor can't establish covenant according to Scripture. God gives you power. You have the, God gives power. Do you have power? Yes, we read in Scripture, tell them what God's working. But see, the church hasn't used the power of those Scriptures. We aren't using them. Let's use them. Start using them. Get them into that thing. Get it into your mind and thinking about God working with you. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Hallelujah. He takes pleasure in you doing well. Well, see, we got to get where we believe in that. We're not, you know, and that's why I see people trying to get God to do something. Trying? No, we're not trying. He's the guy on our side to get it done. I'm not trying to beg God to try to get anything. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." I like the Phillips translation. Don't be under any illusion. You can't make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely what he sows. You see, the biggest thing, one of the things that's in sowing and doing in sowing is the words you say, the stuff you're talking and the things you're saying. Your giving is guided by your mouth. Your money doesn't guide your mouth. If I have a giving problem, I have a mouth problem. I have a belief problem, therefore I am saying things that are hurting me, causing me to say things. And see, that's why. Get a hold of this thing. Hallelujah. You know, get your mouth correct. Start saying what God says. Start speaking. Hallelujah. These things. Wanda and I talked about blessed, you know, for a lot of years when it didn't seem like we were so blessed. But you know, we just kept doing what we were doing because the Word said so. Look, if God's not telling these things aren't for us, I want to know what is for us on the Word. Maybe salvation's not for us. Maybe it's not. Maybe this is all just a bunch of junk. Well, this bunch of junk changed my life, so I'm sold on it. Amen. So anybody can believe anything else they want.
That's right.
They can believe any darn thing they do. Well, this has worked out for Ed. So it's going to stay on this path. I don't have another one. It ain't got a plan B. And I like this one here. See, the church is in charge, but we haven't become leaders. We have followed after and become leaders. God's looking at the church and the earth and he's saying, you know, pray that my will is done on earth like it is in heaven. Now, just he said that. Jesus made that statement before a man was born again. You know, up in heaven they have streets of gold. Up in heaven they didn't miss lunch. Up in heaven, we got to... You know, the church got to get over thinking. What would do me praying this stuff and I can't have it?
Right.
Let's get past this thing and let's get our things about this. God desires to bring a move, and this move requires people not tied to this world, because this is the way too many Christians are tied to this world. They're so tied to everything about this world and how it operates. They can't go do the will of God. Can't do it. You ain't got time to do the will of God. We're trying to make it down here, you know. I'm just trying to get by. I'm trying to, you know, do these things. No, let's have a vision past that. Let's have a vision past that point. Hallelujah. God, I believe, has a great vision for us, and let's hook up with this. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. Lord, your word is so wonderful and so good. It is so gracious and kind. Lord, give us and open our hearts to the revelation that we can see and understand these things, Lord God. Lord, that we cooperate with you by faith. We cooperate with your plans and purposes, Lord God, hallelujah. That, Lord God, our vision expands so much more than what we've seen. Father, that we take our place of authority. That we rule and reign over Satan. And he can't just by himself just hoard up anything he wants to. He ain't allowed to do that. Lord God, we have authority over him. And I thank you, Father God. Father, I pray that this revelation goes out in the church of Jesus Christ and the church stands up against Satan and all that he has done to keep the blessing that God had in this earth for us, that has turned around and used it for his kingdom and his purpose, that we'll grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. And use it to glorify Jesus Christ and magnify Jesus Christ in this earth. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Your plan will be fulfilled in us. Hallelujah. We will do your will. We will believe what your word says, and you will fulfill it for us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.